Greetings. This is Evangelist Budine, and I am part of the Restored Government of God. I want to share with you a teaching today about the new and better covenant of Jesus Christ and how God, in this time, is calling all people, no matter what denomination or religion you belong to be joined to Him through the covenant of His Son. In your studies through this re-education to the truth of Jesus Christ, you will learn about the two covenants that God uses to teach us about His plan. Why is the second covenant a better covenant than the covenant of Moses? Let's read in Hebrews 8 verse 6. But now has He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 12 verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. It is vital for every believer to understand the differences between the covenant of Moses, which we also refer to as the first covenant, and the covenant of Jesus Christ, which we also refer to as the second covenant. It is vital for us to understand why God has called us to no longer touch those tokens of the first covenant, which include the Ten Commandments, the communion of bread and wine, water baptism, tithing, Sabbath day observation, etc., and why God now commands us to touch the tokens of the new covenant, which is government, truth and spirit, prayer in tongues, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the manifold graces of God. Isn't it ironic that most believers in the false religious system that are using the tools of Moses' covenant today to try and worship God are at the same time confessing that they are not experiencing the power of God and that they admit that it does not feel like they are having a living relationship with Him? Why is this their experience? Because they are tethered to the wrong covenant. Those tools of Moses' covenant, which includes the Ten Commandments, tithing, water baptism, etc., are no longer sanctified for the activity of faith. Hebrews 8 verse 13, in that He says, a new covenant, He has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. It is important to understand that when Jesus shed His blood on the cross and died for us, He didn't only die for the forgiveness of sins. This is what the false religious system teaches. Jesus died for our sins, and all we have to do is invite Him into our hearts and we can continue living our lives as normal. This is the doctrine of substitutionism, of course, where it is said and believed that Jesus takes all our sins and we become righteous, which disregards the terms of the covenant. Those ministers that teach this erroneous doctrine, not having the foundation of truth laid within their hearts, neglect to mention that Jesus did not only die for the forgiveness of sins, but to establish a new and better covenant, whereby believers today will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In Jesus establishing the second covenant in Himself through His death and resurrection, we now follow after His spiritual commandments and no longer do the commandments of Moses. Jesus fulfilled the covenant of Moses in Himself, which means that when we observe and do the commandments of the second covenant, we are also obeying that which God instructed in the first covenant, but we are no longer touching those tools. We know the story of the woman at the well and how she told Jesus about her current system of worship and how He then corrected her by saying that He is now her new contact point and no longer the things of Moses. John 4 verse 22. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's look also at John 4, verse 20 and 21. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus says unto her, woman, believe Believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Jesus was pointing out to her that she must no longer follow the tradition of her forefathers, but come into his house where he will teach her the true tradition of faith which is in him. Many people today say that they are in this and that church because this is the tradition which they have followed since they were children, as their parents went to this and that church, and so how can it be an error? Don't get me wrong, it seems like in this teaching, those in the current church system is being addressed by the Lord, but make no mistake, Jesus provided a covenant for all nations and for all people. It doesn't matter if you are Catholic or Muslim or Buddhist or atheist or believe in New Age religions, God's call to come into covenant with him is going out to all. Even as Jesus corrected the woman at the well, so he is also correcting all people today out of his mercy and his great love for us. For it is his will that no one be lost. Yes, it is true that there are many people that have been in a church system for many years, but in this time called the second eighth week, which is the name of the time we are in right before the rapture of the church, where God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh to call them out of the system of this world and into his kingdom. Acts 2, verse 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So how can we say that the current church system is not following the will of God, and that God is calling all people out of that system? Because the 38,000 plus Christian denominations that exist today do not possess the foundation of truth, which is the true doctrine of Christ, whereupon perfect faith is built. Different denominations and religions might possess certain truisms, but not the absolute and complete truth of Jesus Christ. The foundation of truth is also known as the 12 elements of the gospel. These elements are grace, faith, righteousness, justification, sanctification, holiness, peace, rest, charity, truth, regeneration, and renewing of the mind. That is why churches are in conflict about which baptism to use for salvation, because they don't really know what God expects for faith. That is why people don't experience the power of God in the churches today, because God will not confirm the doctrines of man, he will only confirm his Son Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God issues grace to all people to show them the corruption of the false religious system, and they that humble themselves to grace will see these things from God's perspective. The process of salvation follows the four steps whereby we come into covenant with God: grace, faith, righteousness, and the seal, which is also called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God issues grace to make the unconverted believer aware that he is in need of Christ and that he needs to be joined to God through the manner of his choosing, which is by covenant. When you respond in faith, God declares that you have met the standard of his Son, and he declares you righteous. Being declared righteous, God grants you the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is evidenced by speaking in tongues, because speaking in tongues is the gift that God gives us to prove that we have been sealed into his kingdom. Without this sign, how will we know that the Holy Spirit now indwells us? So after we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is evidenced by speaking in tongues, God urges us to continue in the apostles' doctrine. What does this mean? Let's read in Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. 2 John 1 verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Let's look at the definition of the word doctrine from the second 8-week glossary terms. The doctrine of Christ is centered on the record of Christ, which is the Spirit that bears witness to. It is the ordered knowledge of Christ, the holy knowledge that sets the tradition of faith in Christ. The doctrine of man centers on the record of man that the Spirit of man gives witness to. Therefore, the doctrine of man speaks to the needs of man and sets a tradition for faith that addresses those needs. This practice is Antichrist. Collectively, all doctrine within a system is called truth for that system. Believers in Christ follow the doctrine of Christ and abide in His truth. Let's also look at the definition of the word framework. The record of Jesus Christ is that which God uses to give structure to our faith. Jesus is truth. He is the second covenant. All the terms, commandments, tools, and contact points of our faith are established in Him to bring us His fullness. The traditions of the first covenant did not bring Christ's fullness to the soul, as this restriction was seen in how the laws, ordinances, and commandments of Moses were restricted to a region, to a tribe, to a city, and to a tabernacle of stone. Both that law and that tabernacle were restricted to a physical form, and obedience to God was demonstrated within those restrictions or framework. Obedience had to do with marriage. Marriage had to be within the same tribe, and it had to be one of the tribes of Israel, so the inheritance would not pass from one tribe to another. It was also restricted by custom with regard to what they could wear, what they could eat, how and when labor could be done in the field, how they were to gather their harvest, how they were to build their houses, and how they were to conduct their businesses. As the faithful served God within these restrictions, faith was restricted to Moses. The restrictions of that first covenant were further seen in the construction of Moses' tabernacle, within the boundaries and restrictions of the curtains and the overspreading of the animal skins. Similarly, in Solomon's temple, where everything was restricted within the walls of that temple. Now, in the second covenant, the Holy Ghost is no longer constrained within the skins of an animal, nor restricted to the form of a house. Now, the restrictions of our faith are placed within Jesus Christ. He is our faith. God sprinkled His blood upon the tools of His second covenant, and the restrictions or framework of this covenant of Christ have to do with these terms. God set for our contact with Him, and the way we are to minister to Him, for by this God daily receives our souls into His care. Hebrews 10 verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So here we see, in this new covenant, we do not observe those laws written on two tables of stone, but we observe those laws which Jesus writes upon our hearts and minds through His living covenant apostles. So now that we understand what a framework is, we can understand why God calls us to remain within that framework and to not step outside of it. God calls us to be partakers of His truth and to co-labor with Him every day in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. For it is through this fellowship that we learn to know who God is and who we are in Him. As we labor with this truth and continue on our walk with God, we learn what God expects of us. But today I want to look at this question. Can we serve God in covenant and still continue to partake of that which we learned in our previous Christian education? Can we still continue to listen to teachings of Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen, for example, or look to other Christian self-help books or teachings after we have come into covenant with God? The answer is no. Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, for example, are not part of the restored government of God. Their teachings address the flesh and the problems people face. They cannot give clear instruction on the apostles' doctrine because they do not have the truth of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the true definition of the 12 elements of the gospel. When they submit to God's grace and come into covenant with Him, they have to also lay down the knowledge and teachings of their former traditions to be instructed in truth, because faith is not about people's issues, it is about Jesus Christ. The truth of Christ has been separated from the world. It has been sanctified by God, and this is also why truth isn't freely available in every denominational church or every religion of the world. It has been restricted to a covenant, and it has been restricted to a steward of God's selection. Why? To keep this doctrine pure. God selected a steward of His house, which is Chief Apostle Eric von Undersek, just like He has always done throughout the history of the church, to teach His doctrine to the people. We see this with Enoch, Moses, Abram, and David, etc. God appointed these stewards to teach doctrine and also to keep it from the defilement of the knowledge of the world. The steward of God's house instructs the apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, and evangelists in this doctrine so that they can in turn assist the faith of the saints. Apostles lay the doctrine of Christ in the heart, and the teachers, prophets, pastors, and evangelists confirm this doctrine, and through this doctrine assist believers in their walk with God. As soon as one touches the knowledge of this world, or as soon as one mixes truth with the traditions of men, or that which we exercised ourselves with before we came into covenant with God, the whole becomes corrupt. God knows that when one goes outside the framework of truth and partakes of the doctrines of man, this corrupts faith, as one no longer partakes of that which is holy and pure. When one continues upon a path that mixes truth with error, the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness to this faith and departs from it. But rest assured that God promises that those who continue within His framework of truth abide in His commandments, and He will never leave them nor forsake them. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 to 8. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I would like to share a dream with you that I had just after I came into covenant with God. In the dream, I was with some people which looked like a tribe of some sort. I knew these people were a bad influence in some way. I was in their house and they were preparing a meal. They offered me some food to eat and I refused it. I reflected on this dream and saw how God ministers to us, that He is pleased when we no longer dine at the table of the world, but only restrict our diet of faith to His truth. So then, we refuse to labor with that which we know is harmful to our faith and our souls, because we love God and we trust that He has our best interest at heart. We continue to honor God when we remain tethered to His government, truth, and spirit, and when we continue to walk with Him in His covenant. Thank you for joining me today. Again, this is Evangelist Budine. If you would like to learn more about God's restored government or how to transition into covenant, please reach out to me on our website at www.s8w.org.